reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading for this third Sunday after Epiphany is found in the book of the prophet Nehemiah. Its setting is 70 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, when the people of Israel are returning to the land, to Jerusalem. We read at Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women. And all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly. And they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. All the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's found on page 1227 in your pew Bibles. We read 1 Corinthians 12 beginning at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke. It's found on page 1099, and we read Luke 4, verses 16 through 30. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the precious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. And none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, where Ezra, speaking to the people after reading God's word to them, said, "Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is our text. You know, when you ask most people, and I don't know if you ask people this question generally, but you know, how's your relationship with God? Most people will probably say it's okay. Even of late presidential candidates. But if you ask them, how many of the Ten Commandments can you recite? You all have heard of the Ten Commandments, right? You know, 60% of Americans can't even name five. And yet, the things most basic in terms of God telling us what our life should be like, they don't know. And yet they think their relationship with God is good. Biblical illiteracy, however, in our culture is at an all-time high. Not only can't people name even five of the Ten Commandments, I believe something like 8 out of 10 people can't name 4 Gospels. And by the way, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 12% of people think Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. And in the most grotesque misunderstanding of Scripture, 80% of people think God helps those who help themselves is somewheres in the Bible. Well, if God helps those who help themselves, I guess we didn't need Jesus. And yet people think their relationship with God is okay. I suppose the people in Nazareth thought their relationship with Jesus was okay. He was, after all, a hometown boy. And he is not just a hometown boy. He is God himself. And so when he speaks, he is speaking every time he talks the word of God. And most of it is not some new word. They're very ancient words. Words that God previously spoke through people like Moses. Or as Jesus was reading in the synagogue that Sabbath, the prophet Isaiah. When Jesus was illuminating for them the Word of God, he was referencing people they were well familiar with and Bible stories they knew. He talked about people like Elijah and Elisha. And yet, while these people had a sense of the Word, they had totally missed its point. They no longer understood, if you will, what the joy of the Lord is. And they became so angry with Jesus that they tried to throw him off a cliff. Now, here's something to ponder. Let us presume for a moment that Jesus shows up in our day and our time. Would he be treated any differently? Suppose Jesus showed up in many of the churches that bear his name and started talking about things like what we've done to marriage in our culture, how we're redefining gender, how we treat human life. It's not a different word than what God has already proclaimed and always proclaimed. But I guarantee you, if Jesus were to come today and that happened to be the subject of his message, there's a lot of churches that he'd be thrown out of. And if he kept on talking like that, you could bet there'd be violent protests in our streets. The Word of God doesn't change. As one of the most beloved passages of Scripture reminds us from Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what brings joy to God is not our ability to talk to Him and tell Him all our ideas. What brings joy to Him is not simply us saying, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure I have a good relationship with God. I don't listen to Him, but I have a great relationship. What in Scripture brings joy to God is the same as it's always been. A repentant heart that understands that we are sinners and lost without Him. And going to Him with mouths closed and heads down and listening to His Word. Our Old Testament lesson for today is such a remarkable contrast to the gospel lesson for today. It is still the people of Israel, but under much different circumstances. The people who were before Ezra on the day that the law was read were people who had experienced the full wrath of God. They had come back from Babylon, where they were taken as prisoners. They had seen their nation utterly destroyed. But yet, as they come back, though they have a sense that we are God's people, and God is beginning to bless us again, they really are quite ignorant of the Word of God. It hasn't been read to them for years. Sin is still rampant among them. But when that word is brought before them, they don't just sit there and go, oh yeah, I kind of know that stuff. They're not looking for entertainment or tricks. They want to know what God has to say to them. When the book is opened, they rise. And when they listen to the word, their faces are bowed down to the ground. And as they listen, they begin to weep and to cry. Because as they examine their lives, they realize how far short they fall of all that God has commanded them. They don't get angry. They don't say, you know, who are you to talk this way to us? They know that what they are hearing is the truth. The truth that always was, always is, and always will be. They feel shame for what they have become. And perhaps they think that they are doomed again. But the reaction of Ezra, the priest, as he concluded reading God's word to them, probably came as a surprise. For God had found what is his joy. A people who not only hear him, but trust and believe him. Who know that without him, they are nothing. And that their only hope is what he can do for them. So instead of looking at the people and saying, "You horrible people, God ought to smash you," or something like that, he tells them to rise, to eat the fat and drink sweet wine. Send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The essence of God is to reach out to people who are lost and to save them. To love raising up children for himself. Calling people to repentance. And then giving them the joyous good news that they are forgiven. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus, in his parables, would talk about there being more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And over 99 that didn't need it. At least didn't think they needed it. We live in a world, my friends, where too many people, even within the church, no longer understand what is the joy of the Lord. It is quite simple, but so easily forgotten. It is a broken and a contrite heart. A heart which realizes the depth of our sin. But also a heart that leans completely on Jesus Christ. That sees him as our source of forgiveness and life. The joy of the Lord is calling us to repentance and announcing to us that we are forgiven. God willing, the reason you're here today is to hear that good news again. But we do live in a world where we have family, where we have friends, people we work with, neighbors, and all manner of other relations who don't see it that way. Who are going about their everyday business thinking that everything is fine between them and God. They have no time to hear the word, let alone confess their sin and seek God's forgiveness. They have no understanding of what brings joy to God and are living a life of delusion that ultimately will only bring them destruction. God help us each and every day to remember what brings joy to our Lord. But also, God help us to be a reminder to those we know what the true joy of the Lord is found in. The child of God who recognizes their sin and turns to him for forgiveness. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, The scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.